Question is not how healthy we are, because we are part of the local church, but how healthy is our church? Look around, and all churches do got their little problems, so forth. But the question comes to how healthy is their church? You look around the community, and last 2 years we've had about 10 churches that closed their doors. So apparently those churches weren't too healthy because they closed the doors. But we are talking about our church, Center Hill Community Church. The question is, how healthy is our church? I once heard a pastor explain that how important it was for those in his congregation to share the gospel with people in their neighborhoods, at work, or wherever that they're at. Because he said, the reason for it, he said, if these church members aren't really active in carrying out God's work, they are thinking about all themselves and not about the other people. They come to the church each week, belly aching about the church. The carpet ain't clean enough. That music. Why don't they play some decent music once in a while? And they just moan and groan and finding there's a fault with the local church. The fact is, if they were not busy doing what God had called them to do, sharing the gospel with others, they are instead focusing on themselves. Now, if we would take those people and we would admonish them and say, hey, you aren't doing right. You're part of Center Hill Church. God put you there, and so you have a job to do, and so you should go do it. Now, this admonish, we might look at our neighbors and say, well, that means them, and that don't mean me, but it could also mean you and I, that we need admonish. If we are not actively engaged in the ministry of this local church, Center Hill Church, then we're going to end up redirecting all of our energy and everything they do to satisfy me. It's a fact of life. So we look at that and say, oh, Center Hill ain't too bad. We come and we were socialized real good. Last week we had an Irish stew dinner, and boy, them people in that church, all they love to eat. And so I'm going to be at every meal they have. And like to just sit and talk to people. And so we focus on our own desires at the meetings. Fact is, if we are not winning others for Christ or making an effort to spread the gospel, then we are simply talking about others for Christ. Closing together to do like this here pastor's church did, complaining about everything which is going on. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever heard anybody in this church, now you don't have to tell us, but did you ever hear anybody in this church complaining? You got too many meetings, you know. The activities aren't carried out right. They knew he'd have to do a better a thing on the music, you know, and so forth and so forth. Have you ever heard anybody in this congregation say this? Well, don't answer that, because probably the people who's doing it is sitting here this morning. Or they ain't here because they figured I'm going to be here, one of the two. But they're thinking about themselves. We look at Matthew 28, the great commission which the Lord gave us. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is a commission Not to certain other people, like my grandson was here last week, and he was commissioned to go to West Africa. But that the commission is for you and I. And say, well, you might argue that point, but we go over to the book of Luke. There again, we got a great commission put down in a different way, which Luke wrote it down. In the last chapter, verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, and pay attention, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, to begin here, at home, the neighbors, your family, or whatnot. That is a commission for you and I to go and do this thing. Now, and so we should, whenever we're talking to people about the church, about Christ, we should emphasize that is our purpose. Our purpose, we got a vision to go throughout all the neighborhood and wherever to give the good news of what Christ did for us, and even to help even missionaries. I like my grandson that was here last week, and so we will do that. Now, in order to do that, it's not just for the church, because you are part of this church, right? And so the church is not this building. The church is you and I. And so that means an order, a commission, a commandment for you and I to go and do. So I hope that you would keep that in mind and go do it. Jesus told us whenever he came that he came not to be served, but to serve other people. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but yet he said, I come to serve other people. And that's where we need to do that. If we're totally surrendered to God, it wouldn't matter, like the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was saying, you know, I'm going through a whole lot for the sake of the ministry. I have persecuted, but I have joy in doing it. You know, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in near to weakness. And so he would look for that to come to him so that Christ could be manifested throughout whatever he said or how he lived. And so that should be true for you and I. That should be our purpose. You know, we have a vision. I'm quite sure you got family or neighbors or somebody that you would like to see to come to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And so you got the vision that they would see what Christ means for you and I, and it would bear down on them. And so it don't matter what happens in our life. We sometimes get rough times. Sometimes we get ridiculed. Have you ever talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and they really got after you and I weren't too nice about it? Smile about it. Hey, I'm going to do this because this is what Christ has ordered me to do, and I'm going to do it. Smile despite whatever I'm going to have to go through. The ministry through whatever Center Hill has, it helps you and I to refocus our lives to win others. It's a ministry. And how do we do this? Anytime you're going to do anything for the Lord, you've got to do what? You've got to become just a little bit more like him. That should be the goal in our life, that we should live our life, change our life, so that we are just a little bit more like Christ, so that whenever we do witness to people, that they can see Christ through us. And I'll tell you, that's a job to do, because They're going to find fault with you all the time, whatever that you do wrong. But you ought to live your life so that they can emphasize on what you are doing right and say, maybe I want to be more like them. Now, to be more like Christ does not mean that we just work for Him, which we ought to work for Him. We should carry out the ministry, what God has for us, but it should also be for you and I to be just a little bit more like Him. Now, a spiritually strong and healthy church is a direct outcome because we are the church, and it means that we got to be a testimony, we got to be just a little bit more like Christ so that this church here emphasizes what Christ means. Now, through associating each other for the service God laid out for us, we help each other maintain this personal testimony for Christ. How? One thing, we do personal work for Him, which I mentioned, but that ain't all of it. It means it happens during all activities, regardless of what we do, when we mentor each other and hold each other accountable to do those things. So, maybe I shouldn't say this, but we got elders in our church. We assigned a number of church families to be with. And that is their job, to mentor them, to help them go forward so that they can do whatever Christ has called them to do. And not only for our job, but it's your job. It's your job that you mentor one another. You say, well, I ain't going to tell him how to do the job. You better if he ain't doing it right. It's you mentor him. Because I'll tell you what, if I'm not doing right, I need to be held accountable. Somebody needs to tell me that, you better shape up or do something because you aren't doing things right. And so through that, that's going to do what to me? Encourage me. Encourage me because I say, other people got their eyes on me and they're mentoring me and telling me I'm wrong. And so I need to do a little bit more work or be held accountable for what I'm doing for Jesus Christ. How do we do this? Well, there's all kinds of ways that we can do this. Let's say at our weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday night, okay? We should pray for the ministry to remain aligned with God's purposes. You know, that's a good time to do it. Pray that this church would continue to follow what Christ has for them to do. We can do that at the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We pray for the lost. I know we hear all kinds of people pray for this person, that person. They need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray for people who has problems, maybe health problems or something like that. We do that. And through that, everybody knows about it and they pray for it. And so we help each other doing things. Now, what happens whenever that we pray that way? What happens whenever we go and somebody says, well, I witnessed to Joe Blow down the road and I led him to the Lord? Wouldn't that make you feel good? Huh? How many here, no show of hands, how many here feels comfortable and saying, hey, I can witness to people, I can lead them to the Lord? Moses would say, you want me to do that? I don't know if I can do that. I told my daddy one time, he felt he couldn't do it. I said, just tell people what Christ has done for you. And that will be a great testimony. It's good if you know Bible verses, but if you're like me, I got trouble remembering my birthday, much less anything else. And I know where basically they are, but for me to just quote them. Some people got that knack to just quote them. I can't do that. I don't know, I just can't do it. Now, so what happens then? It will direct each of us to do a better job. Say, hey, if a dude can do it, anybody can do it. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so it mentors us that we can do a better job. And so we can prepare us. It'll encourage us to go and to share His word with other people. Encourages us. You know, we hear that going on and say, boy, that's great. I can do that. I'm quite sure I can do that. And so we try to do that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says this, which it means, and let us consider one another to provoke men to love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another. Did you hear that? To exhort. What does that mean? We encourage them, you know, get them out and say, hey, we're going to encourage you. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Each of us got somebody we would like to be like. You know, none of us are going to sit here and say, well, I'm number one fellow. Nobody can beat me and witnessing or anything else. But you and I got somebody that we look at and say, I wish I could do like them. You know, they don't seem to have no problems. And so that exhorts us, that encourages us to try and to do a better job, because we figure if they can do it, I can do it. The church structure, how it's lined up, provides an environment for you and I to be around other like-minded individuals who encourages each other and hold each other accountable to do the job that Christ has laid out for us. Now, it not only does it encourage us, but it will help others to be passionate about it, to say, boy, that's my goal in life. I'm going to be passionate about it. That's going to be number one thing I'm going to do. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to help other people do the same. That's a big job for you and I to do. And so I encourage you that this is the reason why we have the church prayer meeting time and so forth. Do it individually. That, to me, I might be wrong in this, but I think the Wednesday night prayer meeting should be the number one prayer a meeting of all the activities. Now, we've got other activities in that, but the prayer meeting seems to focus more on the unity of individual people in the church. We have a good time of fellowship and a good time of encouragement and also accountability. And because of that, some people might not see it. If you got a good, strong Wednesday night prayer meeting, the result is going to be a real spiritual, strong church. We aren't going to be as sick anymore, but we're going to be a helpful church. If a church is spiritually strong, who did I say that the church was? It's you and I. And so, if the church is to be strong, that means what? We've got to be strong. We have to be, as a membership, we've got to be a mission strong. We listen to what's in the hearts of our members, and get together for any meeting, and just, maybe I shouldn't tell you to do this, but if you go to any meeting, listen to what people are saying. Are they talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Steelers? Are they talking about the past hunting season, about the big buck who got away or something like that? Or are they talking about them talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Talking about the good time that they had in the singing in the church. And we're talking about the pastor, how good a pastor is, the sermons, being a pastor to probably over 100 people, which is a big job. Talking about the elders, I hope that you're talking the good about us. If you ain't, well, then tell us, and we'll get ourselves shaped up better. And anything else. Talk about the people we had an opportunity to share the gospel with this last week. Through that, we will have a strong church. So, a healthy church is comprised of spiritually strong people who strive to be a little bit more like Christ, who are impacting people because we are impacting one another to be more like each other. Our church congregation, and through that, it's not only impacting this local church, but it's impacting your families. It's impacting your neighborhood. It's impacting where you are there to work in that. Because people can look at you and say, they're different. Perhaps I want to be just a little bit more like them. And so through that, we get all kinds of opportunities to share the gospel of what Jesus Christ has for us. Now, I'm not going to have a long sermon like Pastor Guy does. I asked him how long. He told me, whatever you feel like it. And so mine is going to be really short. But I'm going to encourage you this morning to work together. That means each of us should work together corporately at a church to position our membership to be of one spirit, one mind, one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. In closing, I would like to ask you this. So Chad's going to have to do more singing this morning, I guess. Closing, I'm going to encourage you or challenge you about this. Where do you stand in this healthy church? Now, personally, I think this church is rather healthy. We have our problems like anybody else. We catch the colds and we catch this and that, and we have to solve them problems and everything. But the challenge is for you. Am I working to be a little bit more like Christ? Am I getting more involved in the ministry of the local church? Not afraid to do anything for them? If you aren't, you need to do that. Because if you aren't getting involved, if you aren't doing anything for the Lord, you ain't going nowhere. Like, Christ didn't call us to do just a job for us. He called us to be a little bit more like Him. And in order to do that, we got to be a real encouragement in this church.